Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, YouTube. Good to have you here with us tonight. And this morning, for the morning program, we played a video from last night's healing service from Living Word. And I've been instructed all afternoon by the Father to just get this morning service that happened on Sunday morning there, get up and get it on, and that way people can be blessed. Here we go. Turn the camera on. There we go. People can be blessed by it. And that makes it available for Audrey's family to put the phone right there by the ear of Jared. And we declare life and help and strength to you, Jared. Restoration in the mighty name of Jesus, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. That's what we say in the mighty name of Jesus. It's not by the merits of what Jared has done. It's not by the merits of what I've done or you've done. It's not because you're an amazing person or I am or somebody has paid a big price or sowed a seed or anything else. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross, and he willingly gave himself, became the sacrifice for sin. And the only time Jesus was ever sick, the only time sickness ever had the ability to be around Jesus was when he carried, he wasn't sick. He carried sickness, disease, sin, and wrong, and took it to hell where it belonged, and then defeated Satan right there in his own place, kingdom, if you want to call it that. But anyways, domain, position. There, that's all we're going to give him. And so we're going to play this for you tonight, and it's the healing service that came from Sunday morning service at Living Word in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I'm working something new here, so let's make this, see if we can make this happen. We are making this happen, all right? Amen. So here we go. I'm going to share this screen. And then we're going to turn this on like this, and turn this on like this.
It means a lot to a pastor because, like in my case, I've sown Vicki and I 43 years of our life into this church. You, and so is my family. They grew up here. So are some of your families. And it means a lot to us that you're taking this to heart. Let me pass through a minute. You're taking this to heart, and you're serving your God. I'm glad you don't serve me. I know you helped me, and I'm appreciative of that. Now, and most of you, not all of you, but most of you honor me because of my pastoral, and I love you for that. But we're all here serving God. And it means a lot to a pastor when you show yourself like this, and you're serving the God for preaching. You're committed to Christ. Your other life is secondary. Your life in Christ is primary. I just want to tell you that this morning, that it's encouraging to me to see you chase God, and I love you for that. Special welcome to all of our partners and friends, law enforcement. We love you. We're praying for you every day out here. And military, we love you. Thanks for what you do. And all of you streaming, whether you know us or not, welcome. Here's what I say. Whatever we do here, you do there. If we clap, you clap. If we open our Bible, get yours. If we sing, you sing. If Brother Richards prays for the sick or prays over the sick or for healing, whatever he does, he'll be the speaker this morning. You just hook up to that. Connect your faith to that. It's not quite the same as being here, but God does use equipment, and this anointing will travel to you if you have faith to pull on it. We're glad to see all of you. Thank you for what you do. I think we all give our visitors, everybody by television and internet, and everybody in this house, that includes you and me, a hand clap. Come on. No patty caking. We're alive and well at Living Word Church. Woo! We're going to receive two offerings today. I'd like to tell you that up front. Church family, you know that normally it is our custom that our second offering that we receive goes to the building program. We need every dollar right now to keep that thing going, because we're paying cash. We're not going to the bank. And so, you know, we need the money to keep going, so keep your faith on that. We build. I like what Dr. Hagen said more than once. He said everything today costs the same it ever has, because it was all just purchased by faith. Right? John Osteen, my pastor, used to say, you know, they were threatening about, we're going to run out, back in that day even, back in the 70s and early, we're going to run out of cows and milk and butter and gas and that doomsday thing's bound for. He said, if milk goes to $10 a gallon, guess what, boys and girls, you'll have the $10. Isn't that something? And so do your best on that, but we will not be receiving that second offering for the building. So church family, partners, friends, all of you who are helping us with the youth center building. Boy, do youth need that thing now, man. Youth are being beat up. So put that in this offering. So right now we're going to receive tithes, a holy tithe, your sacrificial offering or offerings and the building program in this one, because at the conclusion of today's ministry, we want to bless Richard Roberts. And so that's what Gerald was saying. So Gerald told our church that. He said, man, I've been this awesome tither. You know, he's from a preacher family. And so we're on our way, and the host pastor, the driver, says, Dr. Roberts, where would you like to go? He goes, drive. And I'll tell you when to stop. So the host pastor looked like, he didn't say it, but he had a look like, in what direction would you like to go? That's a big word, drive. So Dr. Roberts says, is there like a main drag street? You know, is there like a main drag with restaurants on it? Oh, yeah, yes, sir. Drive. So he doesn't say anything. He's just sitting quiet. We get to the main drag, and we're driving. Restaurants are going by, you know, I don't know what all there was there, Taco Bell, Burger King, you know, all the drive-thru stuff especially. And all of a sudden, Dr. Roberts sets up, looks up, and yells. Man, could he yell. He yelled so loud sometimes, that voice he had. If your shoes were untied, the wind would tie them for you. That's how I felt about it, you know. And he yelled, the Golden Arches! Pull in there, son! McDonald's. And the host pastor, who's my friend, looked at me like, I'm taking him to McDonald's. I'm taking Oral Roberts to McDonald's. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And so he turned into the back seat and he said, Evelyn, don't let me have Big Macs and French fries and chocolate shake. So I will not order that, but you, son, will order an extra Big Mac, fries, and a chocolate shake. And you will sow them into Oral Roberts Ministries. And so I was telling that to Richard. It's like, yeah, my dad loved McDonald's. You know what gets me? A guy so famous and so powerfully strong, walks so close to God. He's still just a real guy. Enjoying life. We should enjoy life. We should enjoy life. So someone else told me this story, but it actually was Richard Summerman. We know Richard here. He's one of our sons. So, and you know Richard. We were talking about this. So Richard is with, I think it was Jerry Savelle and Oral Roberts, and he's driving them to the meeting. They're preaching, I think, for him or one of his conferences, Richard Summerlin. But however that was, I forget those details. But he's driving them, and they're running a little late. And so he turns to Dr. Roberts, I'm really sorry, Brother Roberts, that we're going to be a little late for the meeting. And he said, if my pastor, that's me, if my pastor finds out that I'm getting you to the meeting late, I'm going to be in big, big trouble. It's not my meeting, I don't know. But he's probably right. If you're a pastor in the church, you ought to be able to get the speaker there on time. Or send a deacon. They know how to do it. And so he says, well, he drives a little bit. And he turns to Dr. Roberts and says, sir, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're going to be like at least 10 minutes late to this meeting. And he said, Brother Roberts slowly turned his head, looked at him. Boy, could he look at you. He looked at him with those Oral Roberts eyes. If you're not saying amen, you've never been that close to him. Penetrating. And he looked over at Richard and he said, son, there'll be no hanging till the judge gets there. It's like, well, all right then, I'll slow down. Praise the Lord. We'll just go slow. Richard Roberts may be, I think he's among the most humble men I know. He's a real deal. I don't like tinsel stuff. He's a real deal. I don't mean he lets his hair down. He's not a carnal guy that I know of. He's a spiritual guy. He loves God. He stuck with the word of God. He stayed in his lane. He stayed in the anointing that God gave him. And he's now traveling everywhere he can go. He's like me. I've been all over the world. So is he. Preaching what we preach, doing what I do, he does. His is healing, and he stayed with that. I admire that. Dr. Summerall, just before he passed, you know, he was one of our dads here. And Brother Summerall, a young preacher, asked him, you know, what are you preaching now that different or that you didn't preach as a young man? He said, I preached the same thing all these years. That was my assignment. I didn't change anything. God gave me what to say, and I just say what God told me to say, and I've done it for decades. That's admirable. Because there's a lot of pressure to turn and be something and do something different. If you were here last night, you got a good taste of not only the man, Richard Roberts, but the anointing that's on his life. If you weren't here, did not. And to be grateful for your wonderful weather. Wow. Get up here, it was like 65 degrees and still in the 90s in Tulsa. You know, if it's hotter, in hell than that, I'm not going, you know. We've had temperatures as high as 109 this summer. And we'll still have hot weather for about another 2 or 3 weeks before it finally starts cooling down a little bit. But I'm honored to be here. And I bring you love and greetings from my family. Talk with them this morning before coming this morning. And Pastor, you were talking about a number of things this morning about my dad. And you started off by saying, expect a miracle. In the early 1950s, I was just a little boy. My dad pitched his tent in Miami for a crusade. It was going to be a big crusade, thousands and thousands of people filling the tent. And there was a group of atheists who came against him to try to stop the meeting. And they pressed charges against him and accused him of practicing medicine without a license. And they said that he had some type of electric device up his sleeve when he prayed for the sick and made him stand before a district judge in Miami and swear under oath and sign an affidavit that he had nothing up his sleeve when he prayed for the sick. And those same atheists vowed to shut the crusade down. And they vowed that on the first night of the crusade, they were coming, they were going to destroy the tent, and they were going to put on him what they called in those days a citizen's arrest. And he knew that they couldn't make the charges stick. But if they were successful, even just getting him to the jail, that the news would go all over the world. Oral Roberts arrested. And you know how the media would do with that. And so he was in the hotel, and his custom was when we children were along, they would rent two hotel rooms next to each other with an adjoining door. And at 3 o'clock, he would shut himself off in one room and put my mother and us kids in the other room so he could have a time of prayer, take a short nap, and study and get prepared for the evening service. And I went through that hundreds of times. That particular afternoon, he shut himself off about 3 o'clock. He was very concerned over these atheists who said they were coming that night. And he lay down on the bed to take a nap, fell asleep, when he was awakened by a hand on his shoulder. He thought it was my mother, but it wasn't. It was the Lord. The Lord walked into his room, put his hand on my dad's shoulder and said, Oral Roberts, expect a miracle. That's how it started. He changed the message that he had planned to preach and preached, expect a miracle that night. And I've heard that all of my life. Expect a miracle. Not just expect a miracle, but expect a new miracle every day. God is not short supplied. He's not like our system in America that runs short on supplies. God's supply is endless. And I thank God for that word that Brother Osteen said to you, because that's true. You'll have the finances for whatever you need. And I was praying last night. I do a Saturday night phone call. I've been doing it for about 7 years now with hundreds of people. And so after the service last night, I had another service on the phone, people calling in the special number of maybe 700 or 800 people at 11 o'clock last night. And by 11:30, I'd finished. And I was wired. I was higher than a kite, you know, after that time. I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to sleep for a while because after something like that, you know, you're keyed up. And so I got my Bible and I started studying and preparing for this morning. And I sort of thought I knew what God wanted me to do. And then he changed it. You know, God does that to me from time to time. He changes me. I remember once I was in a crusade, the largest crusade I ever had in 2010 was in Kenya. And on the last day, there were 200,000 people in the last service. I'd never seen a crowd like that in my life. And when I walked on the platform, the Lord said, don't preach what you are planning. And I said, well, thanks a lot. So he had me change, and that's okay. I'm happy with that. He said, I want you to share some more stories and share some more personal things with the people this morning of what has blessed you and what you have learned in your life. You know, they say that a person has three stages of their life. The first third they spent learning. The second third they spend doing. And the third third they spend teaching and sharing what they have learned to do. Well, I'm in the third third of my life. I'm going to be 75 in November of this year. Now, I know my wife says I don't look more than 73, but I'm really 74. I'm going to be 75 in just a couple of months. And I was thinking after that service last night and after the phone call last night, and as I woke up this morning, went downstairs, had a little breakfast, and I was thinking about the time when I was 19. I had not yet given my heart to the Lord. About 6 months before I got saved, my dad came to me and said, son, I'm going back on primetime television. He had been off for several years. Some of you may recall back in the 50s and 60s, his program was in black and white, and it was from the tent. And I still have 300 of those videos, which we're putting on our network now. You probably have. Well, no, you haven't seen them all. I haven't released them all yet. I still am holding back some good ones. But he said, we're going back on television. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, and I want you to be my primary singer. Now, I wasn't even a Christian yet. And I said, well, that's fine, because I knew that was going to be my ticket to go to Las Vegas, was to get to be on that program and be on national television. He said, we're going to do it in Hollywood, at the NBC studios. And we're going to get top Hollywood guests. And the first half of the program is going to be secular to get an audience. And the second half of the program, I'm going to preach and pray for the sick. And we're going to see miracles. And we started something that was fresh and new. He said, now I want a group of singers. And I want you to build a group of singers. I had no idea how to build a group of singers. I was 19. I didn't know the difference between split beans and coffee. I mean, I knew nothing. And he said, there's a group up in New York City sponsored by Moral Rearmament. They're called Up With People. They're young. They look great. I want you to go up there and see them in Carnegie Hall and then come home and build a singing group for me for television. I said, okay. So I flew up to New York and went to the concert at Carnegie Hall, and Up With People was everything he said they were. They were young. They dressed nice. They looked good. They were singing, but they were lip-syncing. And they were doing choreography. And I said, I can do that. So I came home and I built a 16 group of singers. And we started the program off. And he said, we're going to give your new album as a gift. I said, what new album? He said, the one I'm going to record for you. I said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I've hired Ralph Carmichael, who at that time was the number one gospel arranger in the world. I've hired him. He's going to do an album with you, and I'm going to send you to Hollywood. You're going to record. I said, I am? He said, yes, you are. He was like that. Same way with McDonald's. And he said, you go out there and record the album, and we're going to choose 10 songs. We're going to call it My Father's Favorite Songs. And so I got on a plane and flew to Los Angeles and met Ralph Carmichael at Capitol Records Studio A, which at that time was the number one recording studio in the world. It was known as Frank Sinatra's studio. All of his great hits were recorded in that studio. You got me thinking about it this morning. And I walked in, and there was an orchestra, a 30-piece orchestra. There were violins, there were violas, there were cellos, there were brass, there were wind instruments, there were rhythm instruments, and there were 8 singers that they had hired. I had heard of these people. The lead singer was a lady named Jackie Allen, who was Walt Disney's favorite singer. And on all the original Walt Disney movies, the top soprano that you hear in the movies, that was Jackie. And the bass was Thurl Ravenscroft, who was the voice of Tony the Tiger. And I'm in a state of shock. I'm 19. I have no idea. I don't know what makes it dark at night. I'm just a kid. And I'm standing there in this studio in awe. And I'm in the booth, and the producer is Lee Gillette, who was Frank Sinatra's producer. And their number one engineer, Hugh Davies, is over there on the board. And I'm just shaking. And there's a guy in the back, long hair down to his shoulders. And I looked at him, and I said to Ralph, Ralph, that looks like George Harrison of the Beatles. He said, it is. I said, what's he doing here? He said, well, he's recording next door, and you heard that you were doing an album, and he came over to hear you. Now I'm trembling. And we recorded that album in one day, 2 sessions, and we started that television program in the winter of 1969, and we gave away over 300,000 copies to people all over the world. That's just a little history, you know, a little history of what I've been through in my life, and I thought that was going to be my ticket to go to Las Vegas. I shared the testimony last night with those of you that are here. And we brought on lots of guest stars in those days on the program. And those that sang, I wound up singing with them. So I got to sing with a lot of the stars of that day. I got to sing with Johnny Cash. I got to sing with Merle Haggard. I got to sing with Roy Clark. I got to sing with Robert Goulet. I got to sing with Carol Lawrence. I got to sing with Gladys Knight. I got to do a duet with Aretha Franklin. I sang with Barbara Mandrell, because these people all were guests on our program. And but then, of course, as I said, 6 months later, I gave my heart to the Lord, and the dream of going to Las Vegas vanished. But in those years, my dad was so popular and so much wanted on all of the TV talk programs that were the big programs of the day in the 70s, they wanted him to come on, and he would always say, yes, I'll come on, but he said, my son will be singing. And they said, okay. So I was never invited. But I sang. I was on The Tonight Show. I was on The Merv Griffin Show. I was on The Joey Bishop Show. I was on The Dick Cavett Show. I was on The David Frost Show. I was on The Michael Douglas Show. I was on The, Dinah Shore Show. But I was never invited. I was told I was going to be singing on those programs, and I did. And we were doing The Merv Griffin Show at the old Metro Media Studios, Channel 11 in Los Angeles. And after the program, my dad had led the founder of Cosmopolitan magazine to the Lord during the program. She said she was an atheist, and my dad said, no, you're not, and he took her by the hand on the program and led her to the Lord. And after the program, I sung, and after the program, we walked out to the parking lot where our rental car was parked, and the autograph seekers were there with their books for all the stars that were on their side. And Merv Griffin was signing, and my dad was signing, and the other people were signing. And one lady walked up to me, and she said, are you anybody? I said, well, I guess not. She said, well, sign just in case you ever become somebody. But you reminded me of that this morning. I thought I'd just share some of those personal details. And I thought this morning I might just take a few moments and share some things that I learned from my father. If I ever write a book about my dad, which I probably will do someday, these are some of the things that I might share. I learned from him that God is a good God. Amen. You know, in those days, as I was growing up, people didn't understand that. They didn't know that God was good. They thought he was someone up in heaven waiting for them to make a mistake so he could lash out at them and say, I knew you were no good and I couldn't count on you. But he came along giving a message of God is a good God, that he's for you. He's not against you. He's with you. I learned that God is a good God. And I learned that he sent Jesus to show us what he's like. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I learned that Jesus is a healing Jesus, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did in Bible days, he's still doing these days. I learned about that from him. I learned about the Holy Spirit. I learned from my father that every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit, that you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit coming in and bearing witness with your spirit that you're born again. You cannot get saved without the Holy Spirit coming in and taking up residence in your life. And I grew up in an era where Pentecostals said, well, first you get saved, then you got to get sanctified, then you got to go get the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't have to go get him. When you're born again, he's inside you. Isn't it great to know you don't have to get somebody you've already got? He taught me that. He taught me about what the Holy Spirit does. He said the Romans teaches us that the Holy Spirit is inside us as believers, and he's interceding. Well, what's intercession? It's prayer. That he not only knows what's deep down in our hearts, which sometimes we don't know how to get out. We don't know how to say what's way down deep inside of us. But he also knows the mind and the will of the Father. And he's interceding 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in a straight line prayer to God, uninterrupted, uninhibited. And we, he taught me, by an act of our will, can tap into that prayer. And we can pray in tongues. And we can pray in tongues anytime we choose. He taught me that we don't know what we're saying, because that's what the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians. We don't know what. We're not praying to men. We're praying to God. He said, therefore, he taught me, what did Paul teach us to do? Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is edified. I feel something, but I don't have no understanding. So what will I do, Paul said? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He taught me that you can pray in tongues at will, and then you can stop and pray in English. And something will happen. When you pray in English, you either get new ideas and insights or concepts or new and innovative ways of doing things like never before, or you'll get God's answers to things. And those things happen to me every time I pray in tongues. I woke up this morning praying in tongues as I was getting out of bed, praying about the service. I stopped and began to pray in English. And I've practiced that all my life. I got saved in my dormitory. Actually, I got saved in my parents' home. But back in my dormitory room that night, there was a group of young men who were praying in tongues. And of course, I had known a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I grew up in a Pentecostal church, even though I wasn't a Christian. And my parents prayed in tongues. But I had never prayed in tongues. I never wanted to pray in tongues. But that day, I had given my heart to the Lord on my knees with my dad. And that night, there was this group of young men that were praying across the hall in my dormitory. And so I knocked on the door and said, "What are you doing?" Now, I knew what they were doing. I just didn't know how to get into the conversation. And they said, "Well, we're praying in tongues. Would you like to pray in tongues too?" I said, "Yes, but I don't know how." And they said, "Well, let us help you." Well, I said, "Well, how can you help me?" He said, "Well, you just start with us, and God will take you into your own language." And the word beginning to spread that I just given my heart to the Lord. And they said, "We will help you." And so I said, I don't want to mimic you. I want to copy you. They said, no, just start with us and God will take you into your own language. And that's what happened that night. God took me into my own language. By the way, there's someone here right now. You've got pain that shoots down your left hip, down your leg, and God's healing you right now. Whoever you are, just stand up. You're going to find the pain that's in your hip that goes down your leg. The pain's leaving you now. If you just stand up right now, start moving and shaking your leg, you're going to find the pain is leaving you right now. Right now. Just move that leg right now. Move your leg. Move your hip. You're going to find pain leaving you now. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the operation of the word of knowledge. So I'm in that room and I'm praying in tongues, and suddenly I stopped and I began to pray in English. Well, the words in tongues made no sense, but when I began to talk in English, I could tell the words were different. They were not words that came from my mind. It was coming out of my spirit. And I learned that through my father's ministry. He taught me about praying in tongues. It's your secret weapon. The world can't do it, but you and I can. We can stop, we can pray in tongues, and then we can stop and pray in English in our own language, and we'll get understanding, we'll get ideas, we'll get insights, we'll get new concepts and new and innovative ways of doing things. That's one of the great secrets of my life. You mentioned seed time and harvest. He taught me, when I was a boy, he taught me how to plant my seed and how to expect a harvest. I remember once he was conducting a crusade in Tacoma, Washington. And after the crusade was over, we drove out into the farmland away from the ocean inland. And it was harvest time. The farmers were out gathering in their harvest. And I remember he pulled a car over to the side of the road and got us out. He said, look at that. And I saw the farmers gathering in their harvest. And he said, "You know how that's happening?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "It's because they planted seed." He taught me that seed is extremely important. You were talking about that this morning. Seed is important. And seed doesn't grow in the barn. It doesn't grow in your hand. It grows when it's sown. And my dad used to tell the story about when he was a boy, my grandfather, Ellis Melvin Roberts, was a pastor and a farmer. And they grew corn and they grew cotton and other crops on their little farm. And one day my dad and my Uncle Vaden were bringing in the corn harvest and they were pitching the corn into the barn. And my grandfather came out and said, "Oral and Vaden, stop. You're doing that all wrong." And my dad said, "What do you mean, Papa?" He said, "We're doing what you told us to do. We got the big shovels. We're shoveling the corn in the barn like you said." He said, "No, you're doing it all wrong. Well, Papa, what do you want us to do?" "Take the choice ears, the big ears, and set them aside. That's the best. That's our seed corn. We're not going to eat that. We're going to plant that.
so we have a harvest next year. See, those things were poured into my life. And as I was growing up, we lived on about a 300-acre farm just outside of Tulsa. And we had a milk cow. We had horses, and we had one cow. We had a herd of Angus cattle, but we had one milk cow. And we had some chickens and some other farm animals and a nice little 3-acre lake, which I loved to fish in. I grew up like that. And once in a while, they would let me milk the cow. Now, it was in the days before automation. We had a little stool, and you got underneath the cow, and you milked the cow. And we had a lot of fun with that, because if someone was standing by, we'd take it. We just kind of go like that, you know, just soak them in milk. Had a lot of fun doing that. But when we had milked the cow, we took that container and we put it in the refrigerator in the barn. And the next morning, my mother and I would come down and bring my little red wagon. Most of us kids had little red wagons in those days. And we put that container of milk in the wagon, and we'd take it back to the house. And my mother would set it up on the counter, and she would help me to jump up on the counter. And she'd sit there, and she'd look at that container of milk, and she'd say, "Richard, look, look, look." And I'd look inside. She'd look, "The cream," she said. "The cream has risen to the top." She said, "Now that's the best part."
That's right.
The cream. And I'm sitting there on the counter. I'm just a little boy. She said, "Now, Richard, when you give to God, don't reach down and give out of the milk.
Come on.
Yes. Give out of the cream.
That's good. Yep. Yep.
That's good. Give your best.
Hallelujah.
And then ask him for his best."
Amen.
They poured that into me. And it was my mother who said, "Richard, you'll never get away from my prayers." And she was right. She walked the floor for me. And I remember, you're talking about honoring those in ministry. You know, my dad was a mentor to me, and so was your pastor, Brother John Osteen, and so was Catherine Kuhlman. I traveled for several years with Catherine Kuhlman in the early 1970s. And a number of others spoke into my life. But Brother Kenneth Hagin, who prophesied that Lindsay and I would get married. And we did. But so many things poured into my life. Learning about sowing and reaping. Every time you sow, you have a Bible right to expect God to open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, so much so there's not enough room to receive it. That's the word of God. And I was very touched by what you said this morning about the tithe belongs to the Lord, but it's the offering above that. That's the real seed. And I learned from my father that every part of your life can become seed. Most people think of seed only as money. But everything you do is a seed. Your love, your prayers, your smiles, a pat on the back, a good word. Yes, money is a part of it, but it's only a part of it. Everything that you do is a seed. I'm sowing seed into you this morning. By sowing my ministry. And I have a Bible right to expect God to bless me for it. I'm not looking to men to bless me. I'm looking to God to bless me. Okay? God is going to take care of me because I'm doing what he told me to do. And when you're obedient, and that's another thing he taught me. He taught me that obedience is better than sacrifice. God is looking for obedience. Okay? The Marines are looking for a few good men. But God's looking for obedience. He wants you to obey. And if you study the Bible, you saw what happened to people who did not obey. King Saul lost his throne because he wouldn't obey the Lord. And he said, "Son, don't be like other men. Be like Jesus and bring healing to the people." Now, I didn't know as I grew up that I was going to be involved in the healing ministry. I didn't know. I wanted a different road, a different path for my life. I was an athlete. I was a singer. I wanted to sing every place I could, which I did. I was in a rock and roll band. I sang in clubs. I was on my way to Las Vegas before I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't know that God was going to use me. But I learned as I grew up, and I let those things get inside me. You know, you can let things go in one ear and out the other, or you can let them lodge in your heart. And the Holy Spirit in you will show you which
to allow to stay in you, and which you allow to go out the other ear. Okay? So these things he poured into my life. Let me share something else with you. He taught me. He taught me how important, how special forgiveness is. And he reminded me that Jesus said, if you don't forgive, then neither am I going to forgive you. Unforgiveness, it's a terrible thing. If my wife were here, she would tell you that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
That's good.
Unforgiveness won't do anything to them, but it'll kill you. That's why you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. Jesus was with Peter one day, and Peter said, how many times must I forgive? Seven? It was as if Peter had forgiven somebody seven times already. And that was the eighth time, so Peter could, Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Or in other words, live in a state of forgiveness. Now, some of you may be saying, well, you don't know what this person did to me. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Okay? But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you let them go. Now, you're not forgiving what they did. Okay? They were wrong. But you're forgiving the person. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to receive forgiveness yourself. I was watching TV one night. My wife and I were sitting on the couch in our den. We had Christian television on. And you know how you have the TV on low sometimes and you're talking, you know, back and forth. You're not really paying that much attention to what's on the screen. When all of a sudden I heard the minister use my name. And I thought, well, let's turn the TV on and see what he's saying. You know, he's talking about me. So I turned the volume up. And he said something about me that wasn't true. I looked at the TV and I looked at Lindsay and I said, Lindsay, that's not true. And they said something else. It wasn't true. I said, that's a lie. That man's lying about me. And he's saying it on national television. It's not true. And I could feel this anger. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I felt this anger rising up, You know what I'm talking about. It's just rising up in me that this man had the audacity to lie about me on national television. And I knew that some people were so gullible they'd believe it. It hurt. And the program was over and I couldn't get it off my mind. And for days, it just engulfed me, this anger. And it turned to bitterness. And, you know, orthopedic surgeons will tell you that a lot of arthritis is caused by bitterness because it turns you in on yourself. And I couldn't get this man off my mind. And I was invited to go down to Charlotte, North Carolina, to be a guest on a television program. And when I got there, this man was there. And I thought, good. You know, I'm left-handed, you know. This hand, this is certain death, but this hand 6 months in the hospital. I was going to give him what for when I got there. We got there and we were in the back little speaker's room and he had a group of people around him and they were laughing and joking and I was just seething with anger at him. I'm getting ready to go on the program and I didn't know how I was going to do the program with him there. And I'm standing there and I'm looking around and all of a sudden the Lord spoke in my heart and said, go over there and ask him to forgive you. I said, what for? I didn't do anything to him. He did it to me. The Lord said, go over there and ask him to forgive you. I said, you go over there and ask him to forgive you. I'm not going to do it. He doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Heard the Lord say a third time. I said, go over there and ask him to forgive you. I walked over to him, crowd around him, and I said, sir, I owe you an apology. He looked at me. I said, I've been holding something against you. And the Lord showed me that I'm wrong. And from the bottom of my heart, I ask you to forgive me. Big tears
began to run down his face. He looked at me and he said, "Richard, some time ago, I said some things about you on television that I learned are not true. And the reason I'm here tonight is to make it right on television again." Now tears are coming down my face. And he and I threw our arms around each other and were friends for the next 20 years until he went home to be with the Lord. Forgiveness is so precious. Once my wife said, "Richard, take a piece of paper. I've been through a hellacious mess." She said, "Take a piece of paper." So she said, "Get a pen." I said, "Okay." My wife is a very visual person. She said, "Now write the names of the people who have hurt you on this left side." It took me a while to write a lot of names. She said, "Now draw a line down the middle of the paper." I said, "Okay." She said, "Now on the right side, just real briefly, write down what they did." It took me a little longer to do that, just to kind of write out what each person had done to me. She said, "Now tear the paper in half." So I did. She said, "Now take what they did and toss it away and forgive the person." It changed my life.
You're changing hearts.
Forgiveness is so powerful. When you forgive, something happens inside of you. There's a change. There's a release. Praise God. It poured so much into my life. My grandfather used to tell me stories. And he said in the Depression days, they were living in a little three-room shotgun-type house on a little farm and pastoring a church. Didn't have much. Didn't even own a car. And it was middle of summer, and a hailstorm came into Pontotoc County, Oklahoma, where they lived, down in the southeast corner of the state. And the hailstones were as big as baseballs. And they destroyed the crop that was in the field. Literally beat the paint off of their house. And my grandfather said, "I walked out on the porch and I looked out in the field and I saw that the crop was gone." And he said, "I began to weep." And he said, "Your grandmother, Claudius Priscilla, came out of the porch and saw me crying. Said, 'Ellis, go inside the house and get that $100 bill you've been hiding from me.'" Now, these were Depression days. And my grandfather kept a $100 bill hidden so that nobody could call Ellis Roberts broke. He said, "Ellis, go get that $100 bill. Get Oral, my dad, Vaden, my uncle. Have him hitch the wagon. And you all drive into town a couple miles. Go to Jeter's feed store and buy seed. We're going to replant." It's the middle of summer. And my grandfather started to say to her, "Honey, you know it's too late in the season." But he also knew enough not to argue with his Pentecostal wife. And so my dad and my uncle hitched up the wagon and the three of them went into town. My grandfather always wore a pair of overalls, a lot of pockets. I remember it because he lived until I was almost 20. And they pulled up the wagon in front of the feed store and Mr. Jeter was standing out on the front porch for the store. And he yelled at him when he saw him coming, "Brother Roberts, how did your farm do in the storm?" My dad yelled back, or my father, grandfather yelled back, "The crop's lost." Mr. Jeter said, "Yes, all the farms in the area have lost their crop. There will be no crop this season." And my grandfather knew what that meant. There'd be no money. He reached into his overalls pocket and pulled that $100 bill out and held it up in the air and said, "We've come to buy seed. The Roberts are going to replant." And Mr. Jeter started to laugh, because he knew
It was too late in the season to replant. The frost would come, the freeze would come, it'd be a waste of effort. But something came over him, and he turned to his sons and said, boys, take Brother Robert's wagon around to the back of the store and open those big feed doors and fill the wagon with seed. The Roberts are going to replant. And the next morning, all the Roberts' kin from the area, that is those who weren't in prison, because we had a few of those, and those who weren't playing professional baseball, and we had a few of those, they came from miles around, and they all went out in the field and started replanting. Now, the word, by that time, had circulated through the little farming community, and the other farmers came and lined the fence post and began to laugh. But the Roberts just kept their head down and kept planting, kept planting, kept planting. You know, a funny thing happened in Oklahoma that year. The frost was unusually late. And the freeze, the first freeze, didn't come till almost Thanksgiving. Very unusual in Oklahoma. And only one farm in that area got a harvest. It was because they sowed seed. And my father said, Richard, that is the seed of equivalent benefit. That when all hell comes against you, that's the time to sow. But you know, that's not what most people want to do. People want to get all they can all they get, and then sit on the can. But you know, you say you're in a mess. You say, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to sow when all hell breaks loose. And have you noticed when you plant, something will go wrong? Washing machine breaks down, car breaks down. You get a bill you weren't expecting. Because immediately Satan comes to try to steal the seed and try to detach you from your faith. Because if he separates you from your faith, he's got you. My father taught me that. He taught me that that faith that's in you has got to be released. And when you sow your seed, you got to add your faith to it. And you got to believe that God's going to use that seed for his glory, and you've got to multiply it back. He has no choice. He is obligated to watch over his word. He's not obligated to watch over what you say. He's obligated to watch over what he says. That's why it's so important for us to get our words in harmony with his words. Watch what you say. Some things you don't need to be saying. Okay? Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Watch what you say. Watch what comes out of the mouth gate. Not only watch what you listen to, what you hear, but watch what comes out of your mouth. You know? Because if you don't, that will get in you. We live in a world that is filled with hell. It's on every corner. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And all you have to do is read the Bible and see that it's not going to get better. But for us, for those of us who believe in the Lord and are called according to his purpose and will plant our seed, we will wind up on top. And they'll be coming to us saying, how? How have you done this? We'll give them the same answer as Jesus Christ. It's our relationship with him. It's our seed sowing, you know. And people look at us and they secretly admire us. The media tears us apart, but they secretly admire us because they know we've got something they don't have. Like I got on a plane and a lady behind me tapped me and said, I'm so glad you're on this plane. I know we're going to land. She knew there was something about me that was going to help that plane land. Well, I wasn't flying the plane, you know. I was sitting in a seat. But she said, we're going to land because she saw me on board. I said, ma'am, if you want to get home safely, here's my flight. I'm going home on, you know, the same flight, you know. They look at us and they see us and they hear we talk and they see how we act. The world is watching us. They're watching us. They want to believe. People want to believe something.
That's why it's important to have the Word of God. My father sat me on his lap and taught me the scriptures. And I had not realized how many scriptures were inside me until I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I did, all those scriptures that I had learned as a boy, all those things he had poured into me, they just kept bubbling up inside of me. I didn't realize I knew John 3:16. I didn't know I knew all these scriptures. I didn't remember. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, everything changed. God for my heritage.
Yes,
my father was a human being. He was anointed by God. He also was a man of flesh. He liked McDonald's. I was telling the pastor this morning, he had a habit. My mother revoked his driver's license when he turned 75. Because he couldn't drive when he was 50. But if there was something he could run into, he would run into it. I came up to his house once, and he said, "Will you take me to the airport?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, put my bag in the trunk." Open the trunk. His bumper was in the trunk. I said, "Dad, what happened?" He said, "Well, I had an encounter with this woman in the middle of the street, and she promised she wouldn't sue me if I'd take my picture with her." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure if she ran into me or I ran into her, but we ran into each other." And I said, "Well, why are you asking me?" He said, "Well, I put that bumper there because I knew you'd get the fix for me." He couldn't drive. He's a terrible driver. And so my mother revoked his license. And so he would sit on the passenger side and she would drive. But he had a habit of when she was starting to stop, he would get out before the car stopped. I mean, she wasn't in park yet, and he's already got the door open getting out. And he was that kind of impulsive guy. And my kids would hear my mother say, "Oral, shut the door." And so that got my kids got hold of that. And so anytime anybody tried to get out of the car early, they would yell, "Oral, shut the door." I was telling Pastor last night, in the early 70s, the Jackson 5 came to Tulsa to do a big concert in the Performing Arts Center, and Michael Jackson was this little boy. They were all there. And my dad called me and said, "Let's go down to the Jackson concert tonight." I said, "Dad, I don't have any tickets." He said, "Don't worry about that. I'll take care of that." So he could get it anywhere. So we drove down. And we parked in the back, and we came in the back entrance. And he said, "I'm here to pray for the Jacksons." Said, "Oh, well, come right with us. They're right over here." So he and I walked into the room where the Jacksons were. Their little Michael, their parents and cousins, and there were about 10 or 12 of them in the room. And, "Oh, Brother Roberts, I'm here to pray for you." So he laid hands on every one of them. And Mr. Jackson, the father, said, "Well, are you going to stay for the concert?" He said, "Well, I don't have a ticket." And they said, "Well, we'll take care of that." So they had ushers drag two chairs and put them on the front row. And they came out and they performed three songs. And he leaned over me and said, "I've had enough. Let's go home." That's the way it was. I got to tell you one more story. They're getting ready to dedicate the port of Catoosa, which is just north of Tulsa, a waterway to the Mississippi River. And Nixon was coming to speak to dedicate the grounds. And they asked my dad if he would give the invocation. Now, you got to understand this. My dad was a Democrat, a Southern Democrat. He was a conservative Democrat, not the kind they have today.
Right.
He grew up in an area of Oklahoma where it was against the law to be a Republican. They'd kill you on sight in Pontotoc County back in those days. It's a different kind of world in that day. So I tell you that so you understand what I'm going to say. So he was asked to give the invocation. So he had a Mercedes, and he drove out to the Port of Catoosa, and the Secret Service were having people park about 2 miles away and taking buses over because they wouldn't let any cars near where Nixon was going to be, where the president was going to be. So my dad did not want to park 2 miles away and take a bus. So he drove through the barricade with the Secret Service chasing him. He drove right up to the platform, outdoors, not 20 feet from the platform. The Secret Service surrounded his car. He opened the car door and said, "I'm Oral Roberts. I'm here to pray. Is this close enough, or do you want me to park closer?" They said, "No, Dr. Roberts, this is just fine." He walked up on the platform and prayed and got in his car and left before Nixon arrived. And he got home, and I said, "Dad, how was he? How was Nixon?" He said, "I don't know. I didn't stay and hear him." I said, "Why?" He said, "I didn't vote for it." Are you getting the picture? My dad was a character, but a true man of God. I remember one night in the tent, it's been blazing in my memory. African-American woman brought her little boy up for prayer. And he had a brace on one leg. And his hip on one side was all flattened in like this. And he used that brace and he walked in like this, hip all sunk in. And my dad had a custom that before he would lay hands on someone, they had to get a prayer card in order to get in the line. And when you came to the afternoon services where Brother Bob DeWeese preached to prepare the people for the service, if you wanted to get in the prayer line that night, you had to fill out a card so that my dad would know what he was praying for. The card was about, you know, this size. And Brother DeWeese handed my dad the card that night when this mother brought the little boy up. And he read on the card the little boy had been born without a hip socket. I'm not talking about it deteriorated. I'm saying he didn't have one. His hip was all sunk in, a brace on his leg. And my dad looked at the mother, big crowd there, I'll never forget it, and said to her, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I just don't have faith for a creative miracle. This healing is going to have to wait until heaven." And that woman said, "Oral Roberts, I don't ask you to have any faith at all. You just pray, and I will do the believing." My father said, "Okay." He laid his hands on the little boy and prayed. But they left just like the king. But the next night, when we got to the tent, Brother DeWeese had the little boy and his mother on the platform. The little boy didn't have a brace. And he was running, and he was jumping, and the crowd was cheering. And my dad walked up on the platform, I'll never forget it, put his hand where it had been all sunk in the night before. And in the night, God had created a hip socket. We came out of a service one night in Roanoke, Virginia. And it was in the winter, and we were in a building, not in a tent. And as we passed down the hallway to go to the car, you know how you walk down a hallway and you can't help but look into the rooms. And there was a little boy sitting in this room by himself. And my dad couldn't help himself. He stopped and he looked back and said, "Son, what are you doing in here?" He said, "I'm waiting for Oral Roberts." "Well, why are you waiting for him?" He said, "Well, I'm supposed to be healed today." He said, "Well, what are you doing in here?" He said, "Well, we couldn't get in because of the crowd. So my mama pushed me down on my knees and told me to crawl. She couldn't get in, but I got in. And she yelled at me, 'Find some place to sit down, and Brother Roberts will find you.'" My dad said, "Well, I'm Oral Roberts." He said, "You are?" "Well, Brother Roberts, I'm supposed to be healed today." His name was Willie Phelps. About my age, maybe a couple years older. He had metal arches on both legs. couldn't walk. And he said, my mama said tomorrow morning she's going to send me to school in a new pair of shoes without these braces. So my dad prayed for him, and we left. Next morning, his mother brought him a new pair of shoes. He put them on, took off his braces, walked to school. The teacher had him give the testimony in front of the class. Broke up the whole class. Broke up the whole school.
Come on.
Teacher said, it must have cost a lot of money. He said, no, mama. No, son, our teacher. Jesus did it. He taught me that there's nothing too hard for God.
That's right. That's right.
No matter what you're facing, if it's spiritual, if it's physical, if it's financial, if it's emotional, if it's in your business, if it's in your job, if it's in your ministry, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he can't handle. If you just will turn it over to him and learn how to worship and praise him. You're having a worship service tonight. You know, you got to bring your request to him. He said, let your requests be known unto God. It's not that you don't tell him what you're going through and not that he doesn't already know it, but he wants to hear you say what you're facing. It's okay to bring your request to him. But after you bring your request, shut up about it. Start worshiping and praising him. Father, I worship you. I praise you. I give you honor. I give you glory. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. He taught me how to worship. When all hell is around you, lift up your hands and begin to give him worship. I got in an elevator in a hotel before they stopped allowing people to smoke in the hotels. This guy is in the corner of the elevator. He's got a cigar in his mouth, smoke going everywhere. This guy over here is telling a dirty joke. And this man's got his hand up this woman's dress. And I walked in the elevator. I looked at the guy smoking. I looked at this guy who was telling a dirty joke. And this guy had his hand up. I just began praying tongues out loud.
Sure.
They started pushing buttons to get off. That's my elevator.
Yeah, that's right.
I take authority over it in Jesus' name. I didn't ask them to leave. They just started leaving. I began to pray in tongues and worship the Lord. There's such power that's inside you. Untapped power that's inside of you. If you just believe it. The world believes. They believe if they invest $150 million into a ball player that they're going to bring more income than they're going to pay the player. Why don't we believe like that? Why don't we believe that with God? Building buildings, buying whatever we need, reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus. We're sowing right now into a number of nations through our ministry because of great need. There's a great need in Pakistan right now. I just had a pastor's conference in Pakistan with 15,000 pastors. There's a tremendous move of God in Pakistan. It's not really well known, but those in the country know about it. There's been a great uprising against Christians. And they've been burning down churches and burning down homes and causing them to have to be out on the street. And we're sending funds to help feed them and help get them blankets and fresh. They need fresh water. And we're involved in that. We're involved in India. In the last few years, I've laid hands on 6,000 pastors in India, teaching them on the healing, Holy Spirit, and seed faith. I'm doing that there. I'm doing it in Africa. I'm doing it in Central America. I'm doing it up near the North Pole. I'm all over the world. I'm like your pastor. I'm going all over the world. I preached in 55 nations. I've laid hands on 35 heads of state all over the world. I'm sowing into people's lives. That's the gospel. Mahatma Gandhi once said that not even God would come to a hungry man except in the form of bread. Feeding people, helping people, blessing people, knowing that God will use it for his glory to change their lives and then multiply it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. And my dad taught me what rebuke means. He said, in the original language, the word rebuke means stop it. That's enough. And if you go back into scripture, you see where they're in the ship on the sea. And Peter comes to him and says, don't you realize we're about to drown in the storm? What did Jesus do? Scripture said he walked to the bow of the ship and he rebuked the winds and the waves. What he literally said was, you stop it, that's enough. And there was a great calm. And when he went into Peter's home, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, he went in and spoke to the fever. The Bible says he rebuked the fever. He said to the fever, you stop it, that's enough. And there was a healing. And she got up and cooked for them. Rebuke means stop it, that's enough. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. I'll rebuke the devil. I'll say to the devil, you stop it, that's enough. I learned that from him. It poured so much into my life. And I'll never, ever forget it. And I'll share it wherever I go.
Thank you.
Because it's my life.
Yeah, thank you.
And I give honor where honor is due. Yes, I thank God I have a ministry of my own, but I don't forget where I came from. Because if you forget where you came from, you never know where you're going.
That's it. That's exactly it.
And I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going.
Hallelujah.
Lift your voice. Shebro kosutianda nakasiti kishtinda kasamba kasa. Mosandia brakasa. Lift your voice. Shera na nakasamba kasa tiada nakasata. Shemo posundia na na. Sheshabra kasitiada nakasia sanda kasanda. Romiara nakasanda. Romurnia na nakasutiada nakasamba kasa. Kibra kasa. Ha 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 ha. Did you not know that my presence is in you? Did you not know that my presence is flowing through you? Did you not know that I would use you if you would just yield yourself to me? Kina Kasambra. Now that's the word God gave to me out of the tongue that I just prayed. That didn't come from my mind, that came from my spirit. I learned that from my father. And he learned it from the Bible.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that word won't. I can't tell you how many times in my life I felt like I've had no place to stand because what was against me? And I take my Bible, I put it on the floor and said, God, I'm going to stand on your word. I just literally get up on top of my Bible. People say, well, Richard, you're sacrilegious. No, I'm telling the truth. I'm standing on God's word. This word's going to last. It's going to last me. Standing on the word today. I'm facing lots of things right now. Facing things in my own life, facing things in my family, facing things in the ministry. But in life, you're going to face something. You know, you're going to face something. Things are going to come against you. If you think the devil is going to lay down and play dead, you got nothing coming. Because the devil is against you. He comes but for to steal and kill and destroy. And the devil is just as faithful as Jesus is. And the devil's working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day against you, especially if you're a born-again believer. But we have the authority of the name of Jesus, whose name is above every name named in heaven and earth. And at that name, every knee should bow. At that name, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who needs healing today in some area of your life? If you do, stand up. I'm going to pray a healing prayer over you. And then I will have discharged the responsibility that God has given me for this day. Last night we had a tremendous healing service, and there were lots of testimonies. And there will be a lot of other testimonies that will come this week. This morning the Lord led me just to pray a mass prayer over you. Just like Brother T.L. Osborne used to teach me. Brother Osborne used to go into a nation in Africa or Asia or somewhere, and he'd pray one mass prayer, and healings would break out all over. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. And then God's going to go to work. Father, in the authority, just keep your prayers going, even as I'm praying. Just keep your prayers going. Father, right now, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this healing prayer. Your anointing for healing is on me. I receive that anointing. Lord, I speak now against every pain in every bone
in every muscle, in every joint, in every tissue in your body, from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet. I take authority over it now in Jesus' name, and by faith I reach inside you and take hold of that pain and pull it out. Come out. Again I say, come out. One more time I say it, come out. Every pain, come out in the name of Jesus. Pain in the foot, pain in the ankle, pain in the knees, swelling, pain in the hips, pain, so many hips and back and feet and necks and shoulders healed last night. Come out, every pain in the back, every disc, every vertebra, your spinal column, be healed in the authority of Jesus' name. Heal. I rebuke pain in your head. I rebuke every headache pain, every migraine. I take authority. Last night there was a woman who began being healed of cataracts. In the name of Jesus, I command every cataract to dissolve so that you can see clearly. Every glaucoma condition, come out in Jesus' name. Every loss of hearing, ears, open up. The woman last night testifying that when I prayed that last night, her hearing came back. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your hearing. Be healed in your heart. Heart muscle, listen to me. I speak the word of God to you. Come down to normal size. Beat normally. No more skipping. No more arrhythmia. In Jesus' name. Arteries, open up so the blood may flow unrestricted throughout the body, from all the way from your heart up to your head, all the way down to your toes. In the name of Jesus. Anything wrong with your pancreas or your colon or your liver or your gallbladder or any other organ in your body, I speak to it now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Any problem with blood sugar or blood pressure or hypertension, come out in the name of Jesus. Be healed from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet in Jesus' name. Every bodily function, function normally in Jesus' mighty name. Every cancer, I rebuke cancer. I hate cancer with a passion. And we're seeing so many healings. Just this week, I got another 4 testimonies of healings of cancer. Stage 4 cancer being healed. Nothing too hard for God. In the name of Jesus, every cancer, every melanoma, every myeloma, every tumor, every mass, every growth, come out in the name of Jesus. Any sickness, any disease, no matter what name you put on it, Jesus has a name that's higher. In his name, I speak to that problem. Come out in the name of Jesus. I set my faith with you. I rebuke every depression. God didn't create you to be depressed. You are not the tail. You are the head. You are to be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. You're blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. I rebuke every trace of depression. I rebuke every trace of fear, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I rebuke the fear. I rebuke the anger and the bitterness. And if you need to forgive somebody, if you've been holding a grudge, let it go today. Don't leave this building without forgiving that person. It's not about whether they deserve it or not. You're the one that needs to release them. It needs to be off of you. If it was on them, that's their problem, not your problem. Let it go in Jesus' name. I pray that if anyone has an offense against someone, let it go, and let it go today in Jesus' name. Be healed of any type of discouragement or delusionment. Those of you who have had things said and done against you, I rebuke what has been said and done and the harm that's done inside you. But I'm saying Jesus is stronger than that in you. You can rise above that in the name of Jesus. I pray over you in the name of Jesus. Be healed from the crown of your head, the soles of your feet. And as you sow your seed this morning, your tithe and offering through this ministry, through this church, God will not only use it for his glory and finish that new youth center and all the other projects that Brother Mark has going on, but also that he will multiply it back to you like the scripture says. So expect it, expect it, expect it, expect it, expect it. Again, I say expect it. Say, I expect it. I expect it. Say it, I expect it. Say it, I expect it. Say it, I expect it. Say, I expect it in Jesus' name. Keep calling that which is not as though it is. That's what Abraham did. And he was called righteous because he believed God. And if you believe God, you're righteous. And I thank God for it. And Father, I give you honor and I give you praise and I give you glory this morning. Thank you for confirming your word. Over this next week, Pastor will be receiving testimonies from all over. I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory.
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. 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 As Pastor comes, I still have a few more resources that are left.
Oh, I have
here. He sent his word and healed them, which is available over there. I'll give that to you. And as a miracle, CD set Miracle Living. She put her hand out first. And then I have one problem, Pastor. My wife's book sold out last night.
Oh.
Totally unfair.
They can get it, though.
Mine are still available, and hers sold out. Jeff is going to tell her, and I'm not going to hear the end of it. She's going to tell me that her book sold out and mine didn't.
We can fix that here, though. We have a fix for you.
Please. It's available. It's God's healing touch for you and your road to a better life. Praise God.
Thank you, Doctor. Give Richard Roberts a good hand clap. Come on. Praise God. That's great. We're going to receive a love offering in just a moment. I forgot another story that Pastor Richard, we were talking, he asked me to share it with you this morning, and he wanted it to be recorded so he can use it on one of his networks or programs. And I was preaching for Kenneth Copeland. He's been our friend in this church a long time and has been here multiple times, but I was preaching with him and Dr. Roberts and, you know, a lot of our preaching friends and, you know, were there. And it was a big ministers conference, and in the back, going out afterwards, Barry Tubbs, Kenneth's assistant, said, Brother Copeland would like to know if he'd come back and eat lunch with him and Gloria and some friends. So I said, sure. So I went back. And Dr. Roberts was sitting there, and Gloria said, sit down, and we'll visit a while. So we did. But in the process of that, I told Dr. Roberts, I said, Brother Roberts, you were my discipline growing up. He goes, what? I said, you were my discipline. You were my mom's whipping stick. You were my spanking growing up. He goes, what do you mean? I thought you weren't a Christian. I said, oh, we weren't Christians. And my mama wasn't a Christian. There was four of us Barclay boys, and I'm sure if we weren't demon-possessed, we probably should have been. We were that bad. He goes, yeah? I said, yeah. And my mama said to us four boys, you keep it up, and you're going to sit in front of that television. It's black and white. You're going to sit in front of that television, and you're going to watch Oral Roberts for the entire program. She never did. But that was our discipline. So I told that to your dad. He looked at me, and he goes, well, you couldn't have done you too wrong. Here you are preaching the gospel. So there you go. Praise God. Brother Roberts, this morning, he has no idea. I mean, I know God told him to do this morning. He's multiple talented, multiple gifted preacher, as you saw last night, even this morning. But he has no idea what our church has been through lately and the gray cloud we keep dismissing and the attack that's been against us because one man sinned. And so to come like this and reminisce and laugh and tell us things about faith and about his dad. And I thank you for obeying God, but you would have no way to know just how much ministry for our church was in what you did today. Is that right, church? I appreciate that, Holy Spirit, and I appreciate that, Brother Richard. Give him another good hand clap, would you? Praise God. Amen. Ushers, help me out, if you will. We're going to receive an offering. We're going to take care of Brother Richard. Let me just ask while you're getting ready, how many of you would like him to come back? Okay. I'm putting you on the spot, Doctor. You going to do it? Okay. He's got a hand up. That's good enough. Should I have him swear it like my hand? Put your left hand on the Bible. He's left-handed. Put your left hand on the Bible and say after me. Thank you for coming all the way up here. I told the audience last night, the congregation, that they had an airport problem in Chicago. You should pray for Chicago, the airport, the workers there. That thing is a royal mess. And it interrupted what they were doing to get here. You know, we don't live in a metroplex. You've got to start somewhere else to go somewhere else to start to come here. And then you got to go somewhere else to get here. And so it's not easy, even if you fly. But instead of canceling us, Richard said, I'll just drive the whole thing. I'll drive up and I'll drive back, but I'm not canceling that meeting. Do you know how few guys would do that? 14-hour drive? Come on, church. That by itself is worth your offering. But thank God you come to hear it. All of you streaming, I know you got blessed. I kept praying for you when he was calling things out. I know he included you, but I sure did. And as he was flowing with the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit, I kept saying, Lord, and all those streaming. So if you got a miracle or a miracle comes yet to you, because not everybody gets instant, but we all can expect that miracle sooner or later. You let us know that, and we'll pass it on to Brother Richard, but we'll rejoice with you as well. John Osteen used to say, if you want to keep your miracle, you better testify about it so you don't let it slip. It happened, so tell everybody. Boast in, you're not boasting in you. Boast in the Lord your God. Is that right? Praise God. All right, do something good. Get an envelope. Give. Use your plastic. Use cash. Cash is still good at Living Word. Amen. I asked someone the other day, I bought something at the store. I said, she said, you're gonna use a card or cash? I said, you still take cash? They said a statement I hadn't heard in a long time. Cash is still king. I said, you're right about that, but the doomsday sayers are telling us to go buy rocks and gems and gold and silver. Wow. I think that's a message for another day. Father, bless everyone on the internet, television, our partners, Richard's partners. Bless all of us in here as we give and sow into this wonderful minister and this wonderful ministry. We are grateful for what we heard today. Only you could have designed this morning for our church. Only you could have done that. And we received the medicine that was in this faith building, laughing and enjoying our time together with you as a church family. We thank you for it. Everybody say, I'm blessed because I'm a giver. Stand to your feet, please. I ask you to please don't be dismissed. You got to get the, yeah, thank you. Get them out because they're going to hit the road here in just a little bit. Give them another good hand clap. Thank God you came. Amen. All right, here's what we do here. We bring our offerings to the corner pillars. Plant them. Don't just throw money in an envelope and in a bucket. Come up and say, I sow my seed on purpose. Farmers sow on purpose so they can reap. That's what this is about. And so come now, do your very best, and then we'll dismiss when you get back to your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bill Bailey, come up here and dismiss for us. I'll see everybody tonight, 5:15, prayer, 6 o'clock, worship, and praise God. We're going to take communion, and God is going to help us. I sure love you. Praise the Lord, everybody. God is...
All right. for everybody that's out there, we appreciate you being there with us for this program. And naturally, if you want to receive, you want to listen to this, you can just go to MarkTBarkley.com, or you can go there, or you can just go to his YouTube channel and search up Sunday Morning Richard Roberts, and you'll be able to see it, and it'll be a blessing. Wow, we got people with us on YouTube tonight. Rebecca's with us. Roger. Guys, I couldn't pay attention to those comments, but I see you there, and I'm glad you're there, and I thank you for being there. Thank you, Brother Roger, for putting that in, and thank you guys for being a part of this program with us. Let's pray right now for Sister Audrey's. Hold on here. We got something going on.
About this, and it's going to be very brief.
Hold on. Got a bunch of stuff going on here that I got to shut up. Now, we're going to pray for Jared. He's in the hospital. He's had some severe complications, but let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak over Jared right now. He was included in all of the prayers of healing, from the very crown of his head to the very bottom of his feet. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak your blessing and your healing power in Jared's life. He's born again. We've prayed the prayer for any sin to be remitted. And we thank you that healing and restoration and life come to him now. In the mighty name of Jesus. May faith fill the hospital room. And immediately, our brother wake up and say hello, because there's immediate healing in his body, soundness in his mind, in his head, courage in his soul. Bless these families. We call it done now. Life, and life more abundantly, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Well, you know, we're here. We might as well receive communion. So I'm going to begin reading the verses, and in a matter of a couple minutes, my wife will be in the door, and she'll have communion elements. And so here we go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. Maybe you've never received communion with us before. This is what we do almost every time we come together. We receive the communion elements. And so we welcome you to receive them with us. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a part of your church. I've not gone to your classes and all that. Well, remember this about communion. Communion is about the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus. So if you're a member of the body of Christ, then you can receive the communion elements anytime they're served. I know there's churches that say if you don't belong to our church, you can't receive it, but that's not the Bible. The Bible says you're a member of the body of Christ. Whenever the elements are served, you have every right to receive them. Can you get those magnifiers open? So here we go. I'm going to read the verses, and then we'll pray the prayer of salvation, because of course, the Bible says don't take communion unless you're right with God. Now, listen. Does it say don't take communion unless you're a member? Does it say don't take communion unless you're a member of the church or of a denomination? It doesn't say those words. It says you got to examine your own life. That's the qualification. And then as long as you are chasing after God and you say, God, I need you in my life and I will find you, then you are worthy to receive the communion elements. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often, you notice that word often? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work until he comes. And then verse 28 says, let a man, this is the process, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. What judgment? Any of them. Here on earth or even in heaven. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Think about this. When the children of Israel brought a sacrifice to the Lord, to the temple, to worship the Lord with their sacrifice, the priest did not judge the person. He judged the sacrifice. He already knew they'd sinned. He judged that sacrifice to see if it was worthy. Well, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, Jesus is their sacrifice. And he is worthy. And he makes you worthy. And now all you got to say is, Jesus, I need you in my life every day. And he will be there. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. This is a prayer that we put right on the screen here. Give me a couple clicks and we'll have it up there. No matter who you are, no matter where you're listening from, pray this prayer with us. Did I put that in there last time? Did you see that?
What?
I've got the verses in there. Well, hallelujah. Prayer of salvation. Now, naturally, I put this prayer in here. This is the prayer that God's given me to pray during our communion service. These words aren't the only holy words of prayer you can pray. They're just what I've been instructed to put in. On purpose, because of what they pray when we pray. You ready? Everybody can see it. Read it right off your screen. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction.
Thank you,
Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten
Son of
God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer
every day.
Surround me with godly people
who will help me know
how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
And amen. And welcome to the family of God. Pause and shout. Now, in that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. You went from fear, because sin produces fear, to faith. You went from your sin to being made righteous by Jesus. It's the most amazing human event that can happen on the face of this earth. It's the most amazing. Because in one prayer, you change kingdoms, and now you were in the kingdom of darkness, and now you're in the kingdom of light. Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. You're now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. You can see right here, it says, it says Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You have Jesus' faith inside of you. Pastor, if I got Jesus' faith, I can't lose. Exactly. You can't lose. You cannot lose, because you're living by the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Now, the other thing I've prayed is surround me with godly people who will help me learn how to walk with you. This is of the most absolute importance, that you have godly people around you everywhere, every day. And that's what we're here all about. We are here 6 days a week in the evening, and 7 days a week we're here, just not always in the evening. And we've been here now for 3 years, not out of duty, out of love for you and the desire to see people's lives change. It is our place in these last days to sow the seed of God's word somewhere every day. And so we're being faithful to sow that word, and then just pray, God, help us fine-tune everything we're doing. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you're always notified every time we're here. If you're on Facebook, that's fine. That's a good place to be. I saw Julian and Bamala, Sister Felicia Eicher, Maxine McDowell, Brother Gary West. I've seen you guys come and go from there some regularly, and we thank you. We can't get on and say anything. That's why you don't ever see us over there, because they delete our comments. But thank you for being there, and thank you for being a part. We love it. We're glad you're there. And we declare all of our technology works all the time, and no enemy weapon can stop us from doing the work of God. We welcome you. Glad to have you with us in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Let's get your communion elements. Some of you need to pause the video and go get some bread and water, or take your phone right out to the kitchen and get you a cracker and some juice, something. Jesus said, bread and the fruit of the vine. And so I encourage you to do that. And I also encourage you to turn your phone off during communion. At least silence. Here we go. If you pray that prayer, or you have ever prayed the prayer of salvation and meant it from your heart, you're welcome to receive these communion elements with us. You ready? Read it off the screen. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the body of our Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed, provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the fruit of the vine. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed. You didn't just shed one drop. You shed it all. And you gave it all to us and said that we get to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you might look at my communion cup and say, Pastor, that's a shot glass. No, Solo decided to make communion cups for me. Though your sins were as scarlet red, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. And what's awesome about Solo is they put him in every grocery store and convenience store. You can go anywhere and get a convenience cup. Just a matter of calling it holy. We call them communion cups. Now, thank you for being with us. Like, seriously, thank you for being with us. Because you'll be able to take that message now and say, there's a lot for me to learn in there. There's a lot in that message Dr. Roberts just spoke. I mean, just to think about the things that he just said to us, that he's laid hands on 35 heads of state. That's like presidents or kings. I mean, two or three, anybody can see that, but 35, you haven't been some places. There's 35 of them. He's cut from the right cloth. Dr. Roberts was one of my early heroes. I remember him on Sunday morning TV and his singers. It would come on, welcome to the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, and the singers would say, something good is going to happen to you, happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you, Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. And then my next pastor was Robert Shuler.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next one was Jimmy Swaggart. I had a really interesting pastoral staff.
Oh, what a nice balance.
Thank you, Father, for the great men of God and this great service, both of them. If you didn't get last night's message, you can go search it up. You don't have to come through our video because there's always the mix of adding everything to it. But I like it to be there. That way people can have it. But you can go right to YouTube and search up Mark T. Barkley and Richard Roberts and put today's date in there. And that video will pop up. Play it over and over and over. Put timestamps in it. Like, seriously, put timestamps in it. Mark T. Barkley don't. And it'll help you next time you go back to study that message. Well, that's it. Got to run. Till we see you again tomorrow morning at this time. No. At 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. Our prayer program. This is what we had to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Brother
Roger, Sister Rebecca, we love you guys. All y'all that have come in the future, we love you. We bless you. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How do I do this now? We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Blog Talk Radio, we love you. We call you blessed. Thanks for being a part of this. Anything we can do to help you walk with God, make sure you shoot me, send me an email. It's right there in the notes of the program, the details of the program. In Jesus' mighty name.